bang, and on the stomach like a concrete bowling ball. 3.5 minutes after waking up, Captain Samuel Vimes, night watch, staggered up the last few steps to the roof of the city's opera house, gasped for breath, and threw up Allegro Ma Non Troppo. Then he leaned against the wall, waving his crossbow vaguely in front of him. There wasn't anyone else on the roof. There were just the leads stretching away, drinking up the morning sunlight. It was already almost too hot to move. When he felt a bit better, he poked around among the chimneys in the skylight. But there were a dozen ways down and 1,000 places to hide. He could see right into his room from here. Come to that, he could see into the rooms of most of the city. Catapult. No. Oh, well, at least there'd been witnesses. He walked to the edge of the roof and peered over. "Hello there," he said. He blinked. It was 6 stories down, and not a sight to look at on a recently emptied stomach. "Could you come up here, please?" he said. Vimes stood back. There was a scrape of stone, and a gargoyle pulled itself laboriously over the parapet, moving like a cheap stop-motion animation. He didn't know much about gargoyles. Carrot had said something once about how marvellous it was, an urban troll species that had evolved a symbiotic relationship with gutters, and he had admired the way they funnelled runoff water into their ears and out through the fine sieves in their mouths. They were probably the strangest species on the disc. Wrong. Vimes didn't travel much except on foot and knew little of the Lunker suicide thrush, for example, or the shadowing lemma, which exists in only 2 dimensions and eats mathematicians or the quantum weather butterfly. But it is possible that the strangest and possibly saddest species on Discworld is the hermit elephant. This creature, lacking the thick hide of its near relatives, lives in huts, moving up and building extensions as its size increases. It's not unknown for a traveller on the plains of Hawonderland to wake up in the morning in the middle of a village that wasn't there the night before. You didn't get many birds nesting on buildings colonised by gargoyles, and bats tended to fly around them. "What's your name, friend?" Vimes' lips moved as he mentally inserted all those sounds unobtainable to a creature whose mouth was stuck permanently open. Cornice, overlooking Broadway. A gargoyle's personal identity was intimately bound up with its normal location, like a limpet. "Well now, Cornice," he said, "do you know who I am?"
"Ooh,"
said the gargoyle sullenly. Vimes nodded. "It sits up here in all weather, straining gnats through its ears," he thought. "People like that don't have a crowded address book. Even whelks get out more."
"I'm Captain Vimes of the Watch."
The gargoyle pricked up its huge ears. Vimes worked this one out too and blinked.
"You know Corporal Carrot?"
Vimes snorted. "I grew up here," he thought, "and when I walk down the streets, everyone says, 'Who's that glum bugger?' And Carrot's been here a few months and everyone knows him, and he knows everyone. Everyone likes him. I'd be annoyed about that if he wasn't so likeable." "You live right up here," said Vimes, interested despite the more pressing problem on his mind. "How come you know Carrot?
"Is he?
Ugh.
Did someone else come here just now?"
"Ugh.
Did you see who it was?"
"Oh.
Holophern Street," Vimes translated. Whoever it was would be well away by now.
"Iagaik,"
Cornice volunteered.
"Iaurkik."
"A what?"
"Iaurk. Ooh-och. Ang. Ok. Och. Okik. Bang!
Oh, fireworks.
Egg! Aquatic egg!
A fireworks stick? Like a rocket stick?
Oh, e-e-ok.